I first met Infinity when I was pretty young. I know this because when I went to the interview for first grade in suburban Ohio, among the questions I was asked was, how high can you count? And I came and count to infinity. And the teachers, one of whom I was going to fall in love with soon, both looked at me kind of dubiously and said, go ahead. And so I got up to 100, a little more than 100, and they started me off in the 700s. And then they said, okay, just carry on from 1,095. And so I said, okay, 1,095, 1,096, 1,097, 1,098, 1,099, 2,000. Oh, and as soon as I said that, I realized I had made a mistake, but I also understood, once you make a mistake, you're wrong. You don't get to say, excuse me, they were taking notes and they put down that I could count up to 1,099. And this is a chart. Everyone had a chart on the wall so we would all know who we were and what our limitations were. And so it said I could count up to 1,099. Now, how did I notice anything about infinity? I'm trying to remember. I don't think it has to do with counting, but I was kind of fascinated with this page in Webster's Dictionary where they describe what the words are for numbers bigger than a million, like octillion and gazillion and so on. And this, you know, this page went on forever, and I kind of thought that if you knew the names for those numbers, that was tantamount to almost being able to visualize that enormous quantity. That was one reason. Another was, since I knew how to add, I had kind of experimented with adding 2 to 2 and getting 4, and 4 to 4 and getting 8, and, you know, getting up to 65,536 and so on, which I didn't realize, but later when I was dealing with 16-bit computers, these would be good numbers to know. But I think what really ultimately was the most striking to me was my parents, who were not very intellectual, had a weakness for encyclopedia salesmen. And so they subscribed at some point to something called the Time Life Science Series, which was great. It was like Life magazine crossed with like an excellent professor. And they were slim volumes, and they each had 9 chapters, and half of each chapter was just pictures with little captions. And one of the pictures was of a boy holding up a mirror, which was facing another mirror, and so you saw reflection and reflection and reflection getting smaller and smaller. And I thought, wow, that is good. And but then across the top of the page it said pi equals, and then there were like 160 digits going across the top of the page. I thought, wow, that's wild. That's a different kind of infinity. It's like infinitely accurate. And where are those numbers coming from anyway? I continued to go to school. I stumbled a little bit with smaller numbers, like I nearly had a nervous breakdown during the multiplication tables for pairs of digits. But then some good things happened. Man landed on the moon, which to me was almost like traveling to infinity. And then we moved to Vermont. And after we moved, I found a box with some of my father's old college books in it, one of which was Introduction to Fortran 4 Programming, one of the most advanced computer programming languages available at the time. But of course, we didn't have computers, so I would go to Shalott Central School in this farming town of 2,000 people. During reading period, I was reading McCracken's Guide to Fortran 4, and one of the professors kind of took pity on me, and he arranged for me to take a bus to the high school. And at the high school, they had a 10 character per second teletype hooked up to the mainframe at the university, which was even farther away. And you could sign up for a half hour slot once a week. Dexter Kenfield, who was kind of like his name sounds, was in control of the computer access. And so I started programming the computer, and then I found out that at the university, they had these things almost like televisions where like it would be hundreds of characters per second, just flashing in front of you. It was so much better than the teletype. So I started hitchhiking to the university, and I got an account on this computer, and I'm so excited. I really got a little bit over being engrossed in computer programming. I wrote a simulation of the game of life, and I wrote something to solve chess puzzles, game three. And then I thought, I'm going to compute that those hundreds of digits of pi. So I looked up in another book I found in our basement. It's called Mathematical Tables from a Handbook of Chemistry and Physics. It said pi equals 1 minus a third plus a fifth minus a seventh plus a ninth. But I can program that. And so I ran back to University of Vermont. I wrote my program, and I added up the first 1,000 terms, and I got 3.13. And so I added up the next 10,000 terms, and I got 3.147. And so in those days, you know, you didn't have background or multitasking, so you had to put like a sign in front of the terminal saying, please do not disturb. So I left it there for several hours, and I eventually got 3.146. And that was it. I was like, that was the end of my research. So I forgot about this. And then a couple of things happened. I flunked the Putnam exam. I went to England. The only application I had with me was to Harvard. I came here to graduate school in math. I wanted to work in analysis. Andrew Gleason was one of the key analysts here. I was absolutely terrified of him. I would start to get short of breath as I approached his office to ask him to be my advisor. Then I'd just go down the stairs and say, I can do it tomorrow. So after several more stages like this, amazingly, I somehow became a member of the faculty that Andrew Gleason was on. And then I was able to kind of try to calm down, and I had mathematical conversations with him, and I talked to him about alternating series, and he pointed out that when you have an alternating series, you know that it's wrong, because it keeps going below what it's supposed to be, and then above what it's supposed to be, minus a third, plus a fifth, minus a seventh. The error is about the size of the next term. Of course, if you add a million terms, you're going to get it most digits of accuracy. It's like, wow. And then he said, you know what you can do is you can average the two terms that you have, the sum so far. You take the answer you get and average that with the previous one. You say it's going to be about midway between these two bad guesses. I said, that sounds like a good idea. He says, and then you do it again with that series, because that will alternate again. Wow, that's interesting. And I went back to my office, and I wrote a computer program to do this. And with the first 40 terms of the series, I got 16 digits of accuracy. So this still blows my mind that like the numbers up to 1 over 99 know the first 16 digits of pi. And so in preparing to talk to you about this, I thought, you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to add up the first 1,099 pi's. And it came out right to 167 decimal places. So for all practical purposes, that is infinity.
Thank you very much for that story, Kurt. We're going to take a bit of a break now, get some cookies, get some water, chat to your friends, write your name on a yellow...